And of course, those of you who are at home, we invite you to pass the peace to those who are near you, if you're watching together, or if you are watching in solitude right now, we invite you to feel the peace that we're sending out into the world for you and everyone, and to send your peace out to us as well. You are part of something right now. And as we go forward into our praying, we're going to pray some prayers for folks that we pray for every time we get together. Now, you know, sometimes it may feel like I'm just saying these names out, and the fact that I do it every time may feel a little rote, but I had someone come to me this week and say how meaningful it is to her that her loved one's name is on this list and being prayed for constantly by our church. So I just wanted to pass that out to you as we read this list. And then we've got a story of spirit-answered prayer that Teresa wants to tell in just a minute. But we're going to pray for Matt and Lou and Deb, for Jeff, for Richard, Andy, Linda, David, Barbara, Danielle, for Tiernan, Evie and Bob, Cindy, Sharon and Ron, Joe and Barbara. This week we've got special prayer requests for the family and loved ones of Teofilo Bawas. Teofilo has been a longtime member of our church. He was a lay pastor in the Philippines, and he passed away this week. So please keep his family in your prayers. We are going to have a memorial service for him at the Parsons Funeral Home on Friday at 1 o'clock. So Friday at 1 o'clock, you all who knew him and loved him are invited to be with us for that celebration. I'll send out an email with all the information in it later this week. And of course, prayers for Betty Stanton and several others who went through medical procedures this week. Our prayers are with them. Now, I'm gonna ask for prayer requests in just a minute, but I wanna give Teresa a chance to tell a story of the Spirit answering a prayer that wasn't. I don't know if the prayer was even sent.
So it's in this season of Pentecost, it's being open to the Spirit leading you places. And I've been trying to take a walk in the morning. I live on the west side near Rec Park, and sometimes I go to Rec Park, sometimes I go the other way. But the other day, I ended up taking my walk a lot later than I was planning on because I didn't want to go when it was too hot. And I was walking in the park, and then I saw my friend's house is to the back of the park, Ruth Chittower. Many of you know her. She gave me permission to tell the story. So she was sitting out on her back porch. And I said, "Hi, Ruth, hi, Ruth." And she was kind of out of breath. And I said, "Can I come around?" And she said, "Yes." So I walked around to her in the back porch. And she said, "Well, I've been having asthma. And I think that I smell gas in the basement." And her son-in-law was there. He didn't smell it. I went down. I didn't smell it. But I said, "You know what? Let's call NYSEG anyway." And everyone was like, "Well, I'm not sure if we need to." I said, "Let's just do it. You know, it can't hurt." So first, the fire people came, and they put their little thing around. "No, we don't smell any gas." And then NYSEG came, and sure enough, there were a couple gas leaks. Yeah, so my feeling is that sometimes, you know, even if you're not specifically praying for things, if you're saying, you know, "I'm walking with the Spirit of the Lord today is the best I can," sometimes you can be a real help to people. So this is for Ruth.
All right. Thank you. Thanks be to God who puts us in the right place at the right time. And are there any other prayer requests that need to go out today? I'm going to open up my phone, and if you are watching from home and you have a prayer request that you want acknowledged in the service, and you have the ability to text things, go ahead and text it to 607-339-8200, and I will read it right here in the service. So it's 339-8200. I'm looking at my phone. So any other prayer requests that are here in the space with us? I'll even put my glasses on so I can see you all. None? Yeah. Prayers for Eileen's daughter, who's got a rapid deployment coming up,
or maybe that would not—that's not the term, but it's coming quickly. That maybe it would be.
And Val. Thanks for all the blessings that kept us safe this year. Through a difficult year. Thank you. And Ruth.
I just wanted to announce that I had a new granddaughter, great-granddaughter born yesterday.
Woohoo! Wow. Well, what you may not have heard at home was that Ruth had a new granddaughter born Hallie Ruth. Is it Hallie?
Hallie Beth.
Yesterday.
And,
she says that makes four great grandchildren, and they're all girls, and she really wants a boy in the midst of it. Well, congratulations, Ruth, and we celebrate with you. Let's take a moment and sing our song. This is a song that focuses us as a church in prayer. Surely the presence of the Lord, recognizing that God is here with us, in us, and among us.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and God's grace. I can hear the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Gracious, gracious God, we recognize that you are here with us. We thank you for your abundant love and grace. We yearn to be fully alive and to return some measure of gift to you from all the abundance that you have given. And so we bring forth our love, Lord. Help us to bring it forth to you and to each other in ways that surprise us with joy. We pray that you'll watch over the work of this church to bring people fully alive and to involve and invite and invest in embracing
a diversity of humanity into the fullness of participation in your kingdom right here. We yearn for this. And Lord, we ask that your spirit of consolation would go out to all who are grieving. We ask that your healing hand would be with those who are struggling with their health right now. We ask that your spirit of wisdom would attend to those who have difficult decisions to make, who are in the midst of conflicts that they can't see a way out of. May your spirit open a door where there doesn't seem to be any way forward. We ask that you would put before our leaders a renewed vision of what it's like for all beings, for all people and all beings on earth to flourish together, and for us to fulfill the mission that you've given us, to be good stewards of the amazing gifts of life that you have brought forth on this earth. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus taught us a prayer a long time ago, and we've been experimenting with some different ways of praying it. And last week, Ellen Sana brought this particular translation to me, and I want to bring it before you and see if we can pray it together. O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us. Make it useful. Create your reign of unity now. Your one desire then acts with ours. As in all light, so in all forms. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we loose the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age, it renews. Truly, power to these statements. May they be the ground from which all my actions grow. Amen. You know, occasionally a pastor will go out and ask for gifts to be given. Gifts that help the mission go forward. And it wasn't long ago that I was sitting with our trustees, and I asked them for a gift. I asked them to pray for the church and to surround the church with the Lord's Prayer, as though when we say that initial word, our imaginations embraced all the relationships, all the loves that make this Tabernacle United Methodist Church such a glorious manifestation of God's desire here on earth. Well, you know what they said? Yes. They said, yes, we'll do that. And then I brought it out to all of the church, and I want to bring it again this morning and just keep it before us. I pray this prayer. I'm pretty close to faithful every day at it, thinking about our church. I'm sometimes praying it two or three times a day to hold this church in my heart as I pray. Our Creator, our Mother, our Father, who art in heaven. Right? I use the traditional language. It's what I grew up in. I can't change that. It's sort of hardwired now. But I pray that prayer. And praying it with you has been such an amazing gift. And so I ask for that gift again. Will you pray together, church? Because as we get to that line, thy kingdom come, we can look around at what God is doing and bringing forth among us. Right? God, during the midst of a pandemic, has brought three people to the point of saying, I want to join this crazy, happy, beautiful bunch of people. Right? That's the work of God, right? Bringing alive in hearts and imaginations, in minds, a vision for what can be. And one of the questions that I asked our new members, and you'll see it as we as I finally get my work done and get your edited video out, they answered the question, what do you hope God will do here at Tabernacle? And together, as we wrestle with that question and listen for what God hopes to do here, and then enter into the divine negotiation, right? God, I know you want this, but can we really do it? Right? That's where it gets really wonderful. And so to hold that whole process in this single prayer, let's do that, church. Will you pray it with me? Will you give that gift to each other and be together in that prayer once a day? I think it will be incredibly powerful for us. Now, okay. I gotta settle myself and see if I can see if I can preach. Gracious God, we thank you for everything that you have given to us, and we pray that you would make this moment of preaching meaningful in some way, either through my words or maybe through meditation on the windows. Help us each to find something valuable of you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you all my favorite glue. I'm a woodworker. This glue has put together bed frames. It has put together boxes. It has put together Christmas presents. It has put together cabinets. It's my favorite glue. It holds things together, and they don't come apart. This is Tight Bond 2. If you want me to do an advertisement, I didn't mean to do an advertisement. This is not a corporate placement. But what I did mean to do was to do an illustration that will help you to see there's a question that we have to ask as any time we build human community together. What is it that glues us together? Right, anytime a group of people wants to stay together for the long haul, have to be thinking about what is our social glue. Right, you hear it in the words of the founders of a nation. Right, in order to make a more perfect union. And then they talk a little bit about the social glue of providing for common defense, right? They talk about the social glue that's holding us all together as a nation, because it's a group of people and we want to hold together over time. We've got to figure out what is it that is our glue. And if we think about the way that humanity has traditionally answered this question, oftentimes human beings have held themselves together by a kind of social glue that creates a sacrifice. What I mean by that is, well, I suppose it's something that I started to see in high school, right? I would see a group of people form, and they would hold themselves together by finding someone to pick on together. Have you ever seen that happen? As I matured, I began to see it in the way that our oppressions function. Now, if you think about the way in which
know, people of a certain age will gather together, and they may look at people who are, for example, older, this is ageism, as not as much a part of the in-group, right? Or what about, right, we have talked a lot about the way white supremacy functions, right? Here is one group of people saying, okay, we want to bond ourselves together around our whiteness, and then creating a narrative within that, that there is some sort of superiority going on that creates victims, sacrifices other people's well-being in order to function. The same thing happens when heterosexual people gather together and practice homophobia, right? There's a bonding in the in-group. It's very, very powerful. It'll take you a long way, except that there has to be a sacrifice. Someone has to be on the outside of it. Someone has to be excluded in order for it to work. Humanities use this kind of social glue to build all kinds of things. Right? When people feel like there's a common exterior enemy, they're willing to glue themselves together much tighter than they ever thought possible. But it comes at a high price. So here we are. And I want to celebrate Jesus Christ, who stood at the center of these systems of oppression. So wherever there is a group of people who is bonding over excluding someone, wherever there is a group of people who is bonding over picking on someone or putting someone else down in order for them to be up, do you know where Jesus is? He is standing in the place next to, with the people who are being excluded. Amen? Wherever there is someone who is being sacrificed so that other people can hold their social organization together, Jesus is standing on the other side of that, and he is standing in the place where people are being sacrificed. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who went all the way to the cross to embrace being the sacrifice. And you see, there is language in the New Testament that says Jesus is the one and only sacrifice necessary for salvation. Well, that's pretty conservative language. It doesn't work here at TAB. But I want you to see that there's something true in it. Because Jesus stood at the center of the sacrificial systems of the world that use sacrificing others as their social glue. He stood on the other side, in the center, where all that negative attention is focused. There's a really curious line when Herod and Pontius Pilate pass Jesus back and forth between them, right? Herod says, he's not in my jurisdiction, you take care of him. Maybe it's the other way around. But they became friends that day. They became friends because they shared in sacrificing Jesus. They did it the wrong way, right? The violent way. They engaged this sacrifice, but didn't really benefit spiritually from it,
But even though they didn't benefit spiritually, they still became friends. That's an amazing thing about this. He stands on the outside. He allows himself to be the one who is sacrificed. Now, this is important to us because here we are with a paradox. Right? The paradox of today is that we take serious vows in our spiritual life together, and yet we take them in the presence of abundant grace. Right? So grace says, you are beloved no matter what. Grace says, you are forgiven before you even asked for it. Grace says, I am going to love you because I love you because I love you, and nothing is ever, ever going to change that. Now, serious vows are I am going to strive with all my being to live up to the promises that I have made. When we talk in our membership class, we talk about how God and Abraham basically said to one another, I would rather die than go back on my covenant promise to you. That's how serious God and Abraham were about this. And Abraham went to the point of cutting animals in half and splitting them apart and sitting with them all day while he kept the vultures and the predators away. And then God and Abraham walk between these dead animals. That's pretty grisly. I'm really not for that as a way of setting up covenants. But what it does is it underlines the way in which we as human beings can say, I will take this vow very seriously. And what this does is that what God has given us in covenant is a way to apply our social glue in a healthy way. When Jesus calls people to be followers, he says to them, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to be ready to pick up the cross and follow me. Right? So what Jesus says is that in order to experience the full unity, in order to experience the power of the bonding of the glue that in the community that we want to form, which is so intimate and beautiful and powerful, you have to preemptively embrace self-sacrifice. Take the cross, hold it to yourself as deeply as you are able in this moment, and say, I am willing to die to my will. I am willing to die to having my way. I am willing to die to having my needs met. I am willing to die, right? That gets powerful when you start thinking about where the cross goes. And you don't have to get there all at once. Thanks be to God. Amen? Right? No, we are not where Jesus stood. We don't have to go up on a hill and get our wrists pierced. I'm not ready for that. And I'd be surprised if you were. So there is a sliding scale that gives us time to grow into embracing the cross. We don't have to get there all at once, thanks be to God. But it is the pathway of a disciple. And this pathway allows us then to take upon ourselves. So a vow is a form of self-sacrifice because it's a self-limitation. It says, I'm going to promise myself to this, and it means that I won't be able to do that. I'm going to promise myself to this, and it means that my focus will be here, and it won't be elsewhere. It's a self-limitation that we take upon ourselves willingly because God has placed before us an amazing and abundant blessing and said, this is the path to the blessing. Now, we are building Christian community in a much more complex society. I don't know if that's true or not. That might not be true. Let's just say we were building Christian community. And I don't know of anyone, I would say I as a leader, I'm not quite ready to go as far as the disciples went in their journey of self-renunciation, right? They were giving up all that they owned in order to take that step farther. I haven't really got to that point yet. I'd be surprised if you have. Joyfully surprised, but surprised. In fact, their community was so powerful in their embrace of the cross, in their embrace of their vows to follow Jesus, that they scared people, right? And the Bible records this, that there were those who thought very highly of them, but did not dare to join them, because they could see just how powerful this adventure becomes. And they weren't quite ready. And that's okay. Can you hear me say that's okay? Following in the way of Jesus Christ is just taking the next faithful step today. You don't have to go all the way at once. Thanks be to God. And you don't have to be where someone else tells you you have to be. Amen? You have to be where you and the Spirit discern your calling to be. So that all of us are together on this journey, but we're together at our own paces, and we're together in our own ways. I want to celebrate the way that we take vows together, because as a church, we need some good glue. We need to know that we can depend on each other and each other's promises. We need to know that going before us is Jesus Christ, who made his journey at a much higher level. The reason that I worship Jesus and adore him is that he took this at an incredibly advanced, mature level that I can only imagine, and I haven't got there yet, but I can see it. Occasionally, I can catch glimpses of where he went, and I feel the blessing of intimacy with God, the blessing of building a heavenly outpost here on earth, and the blessing of intimacy with you all that is on a firm foundation of our promises to each other, given and wrestled with over time. That's it. That's what I need to preach to you today. I'm going to end it right there. I could preach for a long time. You know I could. But I think that's enough. And I am so glad to be with y'all. And we're going to sing "They'll Know We Are Christians" by Our Love. Oh, I preached too long. Now I know. Sorry. Let's sing "They'll Know We Are Christians" by Our Love. Two, 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 three. What does it mean when you've memorized the hymn numbers, even when the hymnals aren't even in the pews? Oh, dear.
Would you like to stand up? Because we're almost on our way out anyway.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored.
God's blessing upon each and every one of us, that we could feel that God loves us and there is nothing that can stop God from loving us. Not what we've done, not what's been done to us. Nothing will stop God from loving you. Let that be a blessing to you. And the blessing of Jesus Christ is that he came so that we might feel the touch of God's love in a person close to us. And so he may come through you to someone else this week to be the blessing of God's love coming near. Be aware, be ready. And the blessing of the Holy Spirit, who can knit us together in community in healthy ways so that we might know joy. Take with you the blessing of the Creator and the Christ and the Holy Spirit and share it as often as you may. Amen.
Amen.